Welcome to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. I'm Drew Boxler, editor of Physicians Practice. Every 2 weeks, we explore key areas of a successful, thriving, independent practice. We'll hear from experts in the industry regarding best practices for billing and collections, answer your top coding questions, analyze current legal trends, malpractice landmines to avoid, and look at the hottest tech innovations to increase productivity and enhance the patient experience. Let's get started. At MGMA's Medical Practice Excellence Conference last fall, Michael Morgan, at the time the CEO of UpDocs, hosted a Spark session where he led a discussion of a roadmap for navigating the world of virtual care after the pandemic subsides. It appears the technological communications that enable telemedicine services will proliferate in healthcare for the foreseeable future. For independent practices, adopting a virtual care strategy that incorporates some of these technologies and the benefits they confer to patients will be necessary to maneuver post-pandemic care. We begin our discussion with Michael about just how important virtual care considerations currently are for physician practices.
It's interesting because I think pre-COVID, there is a lot of talk about how patients are actually customers or they're consumers, big demand, just trying to figure out how to make healthcare just more consumer friendly. And then COVID hit and just the world changed in a lot of different ways. But the biggest one are a lot of practices actually had to stop and weren't allowed having patients inside the office. And so now all of a sudden you have this big dynamic. They're trying to figure out how to use technology and do it in a way that actually they can do this virtually, do it safer for the patients. And I think what happened is during this time, it actually realized that it's more efficient to even do it this way anyway. And so now I think it's just becoming part of the normal practice.
Michael says that there is also a slight difference between specifically telehealth and a comprehensive virtual care strategy.
If we think about telehealth, that's really just the act of being able to conduct a visit and do it over video. And it's great. It enables you to actually stay at home or whatever is convenient, and then they do it in video instead of you being in the office. When we think of virtual health, that's really about how do you take care of patients when they're outside the four walls of your practice. And that includes everything from how you even triage the patient and get them scheduled for the appointment, how you get them prepped for the appointment, how you're communicating with them at home. And so virtual health is really this bigger umbrella, and it's really the future of healthcare because that's where patients want to be. You have the opportunity to interact with them more frequently. They feel more comfortable, and ultimately, they stay healthier that way. So virtual health is really the umbrella where telehealth is simply just that one visit being conducted virtually.
Michael has three key components to a successful virtual care strategy.
With virtual care, the key components are, okay, if I'm now saying it's taking care of the patient outside the four walls, it's like, what are all the different ways that I need to touch or communicate with the patient? And, you know, traditionally, communicating with a patient outside the office was almost all done doing a phone call. It's just super inefficient. You can't see the patient. It's not convenient for them. A lot of times you're leaving voicemails back and forth. So you really need a way to communicate with your patient population en masse. So think about being able to blast messages out in whatever way the patient wants to see or get that phone call, you know, text message, email. And then it includes the ability to text message with a patient, being able to communicate bi-directionally, collect information via forms, and then also, you know, being able to distribute educational information that ultimately do the video. So think about taking all the different virtual communications capabilities and bringing those together. And you really need to do that because it's not a one size fits all. Some patients still want to use the phone. Some want to use email. Some want to use text message. So you have to think about it. It has to be universal if you want to be able to capture all the patients and communicate with them the way they want to.
There are also some technologies your practice might currently be using that you should consider replacing.
Yeah, I think the biggest one is really the phone. Because again, you know, think about when somebody calls you to say your lab results are fine, they leave a voicemail. You don't know the result. You have to call back. On average, it takes 3 times to communicate back and forth. It causes anxiety. There's, you know, you don't get the answer the way you want to, and it causes a lot of rework. So I think that. I think the other technology probably is some of the first generation patient technologies, like patient portals. So if you recall those were going to change the way you communicate with the patient. But again, that was a one size fits all and required you as the patient to change your workflow. You had to come out of what you were doing and log into something. People want convenience and people want things pushed to them. So eliminating those phone calls and kind of those old fashioned portals are really two of the biggest things that I think practices are now starting to realize that they have to get.
With all this talk of transitioning to virtual care strategies, you might be wondering, is it even possible to transition to a completely paperless practice?
I think it really is. And I think when you think about a paperless strategy, it's really twofold. A lot of paper is generated when physicians and physician offices work with other physician offices. And there's been a lot of tech, and UpDocs has been a leader in that, helping replace that old fashioned fax machine. Probably the paper that's been left is a lot of that that has to do with the patient. And again, it's unfortunate that COVID and a pandemic accelerated this. But if you think about all the times you've gone to the doctor's office and they hand you a clipboard or they hand you a piece of paper and a pen and you're there filling out. So that's really kind of the last, you know, big group of paper that's left. And that's some of the things that we've really been talking to practices about is now, especially with COVID, nobody wants to pass the germs by doing that. In addition, it's super inefficient. And so we really see a lot of opportunity to help practices take all that paper, move that experience online for patients. You can fill out that information before you come into the office. You can do that on your own device. You can sign with your finger. You can collect payment. And so really you can do all that in a paperless way. But not only eliminating paper makes patients happier, but it really eliminates a lot of the work and rework that happens inside an office if you think about moving all of that paper around. So I think a lot of ways, I think practices sometimes get overwhelmed and think that it's impossible, but really with the right kind of technology and making sure it's universal enough and really can address all those workflows, it's really feasible to actually get rid of all the paper in an office.
Once you have decided to adopt virtual care strategies, you'll need to help staff transition to new technologies and workflows.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing because, and we get it. I mean, staffs are, especially again with COVID, there's a lot of administrative burdens. There's also the concern about safety. I think one of the key things, and we always think about it like an evolution. A lot of practices have an existing process in place. If they can implement technology that can mirror their existing process, allow them to set up the workflow, the queues, how things work, that's an easier transition for a staff to basically think about, okay, I've got my process. Maybe my prior authorization comes in. I always move it over to this department. They work on filling it out and then they send it. If you can have tech that manages the process similar to how they are, you do that. Then you can now start to think about how can I make these processes more effective? Maybe instead of moving a prior auth to this group, maybe I distribute this work effort. Maybe I do things differently. I think a lot of times it fails. Again, when people think about it, it has to be done in one big step and you're moving. That's when you start to lose people and they think about it too difficult. And so we always think about picture a pyramid. Have tech that takes existing processes, simply make them more efficient, get a comfort level with the staff, get rid of that paper, do that, then start finding opportunities as you work up the stack to then make things more effective. And we found that that just really helps with the adoption and also just the overall satisfaction with the staff.
Another important consideration when transitioning to these technologies is physical and cybersecurity.
You know, technologies like ours and others that serve the industry, that is really the number one priority and work really hard, especially in a lot of the cloud-based technologies, to ensure the security. I know for ourselves, we spend, you know, significant investment in both making the tech you know, extremely secure, but then also getting the accreditations that are required to demonstrate that the tech is secure. So I think a lot of that, practices need to worry about their workflow. They need to worry about the experience for the staff, the clinicians, physicians, and the patients. And that's really, I think, an important part is when they're determining which technology to pick, you know, to make sure that they are working with groups that it should be the technology, you know, making sure that they're, you know, spending the investment and the time to do that. I think that's at the tech level. Then I think there is the responsibility then from the practice just to make sure to have good process and procedures, you know, making sure you're getting the consent forms, you're getting the sign-offs, you know, the correct way is there as well. So that's, I think, the responsibility then the practice and how that builds upon the tech.
And finally, Michael shares some parting words of advice.
One, don't be, you know, concerned that it's too overwhelming. There is a way to get started and then work your way in. Two, even if you start with a piece, make sure that if you say, I do want to just start by enabling a video with my patients. Make sure then when you're ready to text message, when you're ready to reach the population at home, ideally you can make that a coordinated strategy. So, you know, start small, but then make sure that it's something that can expand, because ultimately every practice is going to have to get there to survive. And then number three, the best thing to do is to actually learn from other practices. There are practices that are potentially doing it a little bit in advance. There's other ones that's learning. And I know we found it extremely valuable when we've helped practices share with other practices. Here's how I think about grabbing and getting the appropriate consent. Here's how I think about proactively reaching out to certain patient populations, you know, to make them healthy. So I think being able to build on those three things and thinking about it, you know, not getting overwhelmed, make sure even if you start with a piece of it, you can expand. And then three, just, you know, learn from the community. I think those are really the things that we're seeing that are making the practices.
Thanks again for taking the time to speak with me, Michael. And thank you all for listening to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. We hope you subscribe or listen to podcasts, rate us, and let us know what topics you would like to hear more about. For more practice management insights from the top experts in the field, be sure to visit us at physicianspractice.com and sign up for our newsletter.